As you may have heard, 330 additional Australian troops will fly to Iraq tomorrow for a two-year training mission. The deployment was flagged last month, and the troops will join 200 special forces and 400 others already in Iraq in the US-led coalition against ISIS. Here's the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, today.
Our mission is all about trying to ensure that the legitimate government of Iraq has a trained and disciplined and capable force that understands the rules of armed conflict at its disposal to retake the territory which is currently under the control of the death cult.
But the deployment is being criticised as mission creep, and today a former military intelligence officer says it could backfire on Australia's strategic interests in Asia. John Blaxland worked in Iraq and Afghanistan as Chief Staff Officer for Joint Intelligence Operations and is now with the Australian National University and joins us on RN Drive. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Patricia. Just a correction, I had oversight of operations, intelligence operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. I wasn't based in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay, absolutely. Now, explain why you're worried about news we're sending more troops to Iraq.
Part of the reason for that is that the situation there is far more complicated than we like to admit. And we really don't have a terribly good grasp on what's going on. We have a limited cultural understanding, very limited linguistic understanding, and a fairly paltry historical understanding of the dynamics at play between the Sunni and Shia worlds as they are manifesting themselves in Iraq today. And when we get involved in the situation there, we like to think we're making a positive difference. And on one level, it looks like we probably are. You know, we're helping the soldiers from the Iraqi army reconstitute themselves, get some military proficiency back up. But to what avail? This is the question. The problem is that the troops that are operating, that we're supporting, the Iraqi government troops are predominantly Shia, and the government of Shia Iraq has essentially ostracized and alienated the Sunni Northwest to the point where they really were quite happy on one level to see the so-called Islamic State, the Daeshists, come out of the woodwork and take over and most of the northwest of the country. Now, to reverse that, you've got to have a plan that actually works to counteract very corrosive influence of the Shiite government of the past, and there's little evidence of that being the case.
Now, Prime Minister Tony Abbott says it's to ensure that his government does what it reasonably can to protect Australia, Iraq and the wider world from ISIS. If this is the wrong approach, as you've very clearly articulated, your view, what should Australia be doing instead to deal with ISIS?
Well, Australia should be focusing on engagement with its partners in our neighbourhood. We have in the past been very good at engaging in Southeast Asia, and our neighbours have noticed that we have been very distracted militarily by the Middle East. Prior to 9/11, Australia's military engagement was in Southeast Asia, much in line with the government's policy of engagement with APEC and the various efforts to engage with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and the Pacific Forum. Well, now, policymakers will tell you, oh, but we're still doing that, John, we're still doing that. But in reality, we're on cruise control on those fronts. Because any policy wannabe, any significant player on the policy stage is engaged on the hot issues of the day, and that's the Middle East. It's not on our neighbourhood. And our neighbourhood is in need of engagement as much as ever, if not more, because they're facing similar challenges as well. You know, we worry about Monas and Martin Place. Well, the challenges in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in the Philippines, and in other parts of Southeast Asia are considerably greater, and they matter a lot more to Australia because they are our immediate neighbours. The ramifications are direct.
Do you have a view on what impact further troop deployments to Iraq might have on radicalising people living in Australia? Will it increase the risk of local terrorist activities, in your view? I know some people have put that argument forward.
Yeah, look, it's hard to argue compellingly one way or the other. But one thing is clear. We're seen as crusaders. Even though Australians today, most identify them as fairly secular, and if they're religious, they're not terribly overt about it. They're pretty, you know, they don't wear it too loudly on the outside. But that is not how we are perceived in the Middle East, and particularly by the members of the so-called Islamic State. They see us very much in millenarial religious terms. So our presence is all about, you know, a return to the medieval Christendom, if you like, and the fights of the Crusaders. So for us to think that we can go in there and play our part and not be seen in these terms is simply mistaken, I'm afraid. And so given that, given the grave limitations of how much we can positively influence things in Iraq against the Ba'athists, we've got to ask ourselves, how can we best utilise our resources? And on one level, you know, it's perfectly understandable that the government has decided, look, we need to support the alliance, we need to support the government of Iraq, we're pretty good at trainers, you know, we've got a reputation as being good at trainers, surely that's something that we can do this positive. Oh, and we've got great F-18s, no question, they're very good, and in terms of proficiency of the Air Force, it's bang on. I mean, the Air Force is getting, you know, pardon the pun, a lot of bang for its buck out of this, because it's getting to work with the Americans and other allies, it's improving its proficiency, its testing capabilities. So on that level, it's really good. But in terms of the actual outcomes, we're really making a marginal difference. And arguably, our contribution is a bit like putting your hand in a bucket. It feels good, and it makes a visible difference while we're there. But take the hand out and what's left?
John Blaxland, it's been a pleasure to have you on RN Drive. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Patricia.
And that's John Blaxland, a fellow with the Strategic and Defence Study Centre at the ANU.